What would you do if one impulsive decision unraveled your entire carefully constructed life? Olive Smith, a third-year PhD candidate at Stanford, finds herself in exactly this predicament when she kisses a random man in the biology department hallway. Her mission is simple: convince her best friend An that she's moved on and doesn't need to be set up with her ex. The execution, however, is spectacularly disastrous. The stranger she grabs turns out to be Dr. Adam Carlson, the most feared professor in the department, notorious for his brutal critiques and career-crushing standards. The kiss is awkward, one-sided, and mortifying. When Adam threatens a Title IX complaint for sexual misconduct, Olive's humiliation is complete. She's certain her academic career is over before it's truly begun. Yet beneath this catastrophic beginning lies something unexpected. Adam's reaction, while stern, isn't as devastating as it could be. There's a flicker of curiosity in his response that neither character fully recognizes yet. This moment of panic becomes the catalyst for an unusual arrangement, a fake relationship that benefits them both. For Olive, it maintains her lie to An. For Adam, it convinces the department chair he's settled enough to stay at Stanford, unfreezing his research funds. What begins as a mutually beneficial transaction soon becomes something neither of them anticipated, a connection that challenges everything they thought they knew about love, trust, and vulnerability. Their arrangement begins with clinical precision. Weekly coffee dates at Starbucks, minimal disclosure, clear boundaries. When Olive fumbles through basic questions like, "What's your favorite color?" Adam's uncertain answer, "Blue, no, green, wait, blue-green," reveals unexpected awkwardness beneath his intimidating exterior. What makes their setup compelling is how it subverts academic power dynamics. Outside their pretense, Adam could make or break careers with a single recommendation. Within their fake relationship, they're equals navigating unfamiliar territory. Their coffee dates reveal surprising commonalities. Adam pays for Olive's extravagant order because he understands graduate student finances firsthand. When Olive ends up on Adam's lap during a crowded scientific talk, she discovers it ranks in the top 5th percentile for comfort, coziness, and enjoyment. Physical proximity breaks down barriers, creating genuine connection amid their pretense. Their fake relationship becomes a controlled experiment where the variables keep changing. At 15, Olive lost her mother to pancreatic cancer and entered foster care, developing deep abandonment fears. "Everyone I've ever loved has disappeared from my life," she tells Malcolm. This fear drives her to avoid genuine romantic connections. A fake relationship with clear boundaries feels safer than risking real heartbreak. Yet the same loss fuels her academic passion. Her research focuses on early detection methods for pancreatic cancer, transforming personal tragedy into scientific determination. "I want to find a way to detect pancreatic cancer early enough that people have a fighting chance," she reveals to Adam during a late-night conversation. What makes Olive compelling is how vulnerability coexists with strength. Despite insecurities, she pursues her research with unwavering dedication. When her advisor becomes less involved, she adapts. When a senior researcher threatens to steal her work, she fights back. Adam recognizes this resilience before she does. "You're brilliant. I wish you could see yourself the way I see you." Adam Carlson appears as the archetypal academic villain, brilliant but brutal, feared for harsh critiques. Yet beneath this exterior lies a principled scientist shaped by trauma. During his PhD, an abusive advisor publicly humiliated students and pitted them against each other. When Adam and his friend Holden chose collaboration over competition, they were denied funding and their work was published without credit. This experience instilled Adam's unwavering commitment to scientific integrity. What others perceive as harshness is his way of maintaining essential standards. He pushes students because he believes in their potential. Raised by emotionally distant diplomats, constantly moving between countries, he developed fierce self-sufficiency and difficulty expressing emotions. Most surprisingly, Adam's interest in Olive predates their arrangement by years. He remembers her Star Trek reference in her first seminar and watching her play freeze tag at a department picnic. With Olive, he reveals patience, humor, and vulnerability that surprise even close friends. Through Olive's experiences, we see how gender politics, ambition, and institutional power shape scientific careers. Academia becomes a pressure cooker where self-worth hinges on publications, grants, and recognition. Over beers and s'mores, Olive and Ann catalog their sacrifices, working weekends, surviving on meager stipends, postponing life milestones, all for uncertain academic positions. They fantasize about industry jobs offering better pay and luxuries like sleeping in on Sundays and buying a wireless vacuum cleaner. Gender dynamics complicate everything. Dr. Aslan advises Olive to carry herself with the confidence of a mediocre white man, a sardonic acknowledgement of double standards. The novel's darkest exploration comes through Tom Benton, whose predatory behavior, attempting to kiss Olive, threatening to steal her research, suggesting sexual favors for advancement, represents the abuse of power in academic hierarchies. What makes this portrayal nuanced is recognizing that toxic behaviors persist because systems reward them. Tom's Harvard position shields him from consequences. Yet hopeful counterexamples exist through Dr. Aslan, who supports Olive by connecting her with other researchers, suggesting that intentional effort can transform toxic academic culture. Olive frames experiences as scientific hypotheses to be tested. Her early predictions are pessimistic. When given a choice between A, a slightly inconveniencing situation, and B, a colossal shit show with devastating consequences, I will inevitably end up selecting B. This reflects her belief that disaster is her default state. The Boston Conference marks the transition from fake to real. When Olive returns devastated after Tom's predatory behavior, Adam abandons the department social to care for her, taking her to a sushi train restaurant and carrying her barefoot to their room. These acts reveal genuine care rather than performance. The emotional climax arrives when Olive realizes she's been so afraid of type 1 errors, seeing something that isn't there, that she's committed a type 2 error, failing to see what is there. When Holden reveals Adam has been interested in Olive since they first met, the extent of his genuine care becomes undeniable. Their reunion transforms their accidental beginning into an intentional choice. In a world that teaches us to protect our hearts, the love hypothesis reminds us that the greatest discoveries happen when we're brave enough to be vulnerable. Olive and Adam's journey from fake dating to genuine love becomes a testament to the transformative power of allowing ourselves to be truly seen. What begins as a catastrophic kiss challenges both characters' deepest fears. For Olive, who lost everyone she loved, it means risking abandonment again. For Adam, whose childhood taught him self-sufficiency, it means learning to express feelings directly. Their fake relationship creates a safe space where authentic connection emerges, proving that vulnerability met with acceptance can heal even the deepest wounds. The novel reminds us that love, like science, requires courage to test our assumptions and embrace uncertainty. In Olive's words, spoken in Adam's childhood Dutch, "Ik hou van jou," I love you. Three words that transform hypothesis into theory, doubt into certainty, and fear into the most beautiful experiment of all.